Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 180 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap this week's nerd news. We'll begin in entertainment with the changes in the Marvel upcoming slate for 2022, a sci-fi comic cancellation on FX, some video game news surrounding NFTs, and then we'll jump over into tech news where we've got facial recognition in schools, AI supporting medical diagnosis, and William Shatner. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and we're back. Episode 180. No movies out last week. Nothing to really talk about. We got Dune coming this week. It's going to be the first time I will step foot in a theater.
Are you going?
This is the one. This is the one that gets me in the theater.
You already got your ticket?
I'm in the middle of nowhere. I don't need to fight anybody for tickets here.
I would think it would be opposite. I would think that, you know, when a new movie like this comes out, it's on and popping out in, you know, the middle of nowhere.
Maybe I should check.
I would definitely look into it. My theaters are filled.
Well,
oh, yeah.
We'll find out next week whether I made it or not.
I got tickets for Thursday.
All right. Well, either way, you know, I've been looking forward to Dune. Let's see if it lives up to the hype I've put it to in my head.
A lot of good actors, man. You can't put that many good actors in a movie and really kind of shit the bed, I guess.
Sure, you can.
Oh, you can. Yeah. Hence Mars Attacks.
But yeah. Are you saying Mars Attacks is a bad movie?
Oh, it was a horrible movie.
How dare you?
With a bunch of big names. It was so cheesy.
But yeah, I'm still absolutely looking forward to this. I'm giving it plenty of leeway as a fan of the book. I'm giving it plenty of leeway. I understand they're going to change a lot. They definitely can't tell that whole story in one movie. So we'll see where they go. But let's.
Yeah, from what I've read, it's only half of the book.
And that's
they're ending it at half.
Yeah, that's what I understand as well. So I think that's acceptable. Let's jump into the news of the week, and we've got more movie theater talk here, and that's Marvel making some pretty big changes to their movie slate again already. Like, this one's far out, and we're already starting to see some delays in 2022.
Yeah, and they bumped everything. Like, literally everything. Most of the stuff got bumped, like, 2 months. There's some bigger ones. Black Panther got bumped, I think, like, 5-6 months. Indiana Jones got bumped an entire year. Yeah, there's, I don't know, man. Like, I'm wondering if it's a one movie starts a domino effect thing. If it's, they don't release too many details about the whys when they do this. They just kind of say that it is what it is.
I've got to think it is just because, like, at this point in time, it's not production delays, right? Like, they've had plenty of time to produce things. It's got to be all the delays that they had to the other slates and everything else, and now they're just trying to space everything out, make sure that they have the optimum windows to try to maximize their profits here. But it can't be
They're going to blame it on ScarJo and the lawsuits.
We just couldn't
focus.
Potential. But, you know, we're seeing, everything. Every single movie that Marvel is coming out with is delayed. So, you know, Doctor Strange, Black Panther, the next Thor
movie.
I got
my Eternals tickets, though. That's coming out.
That's coming out.
I got my tickets ready. That one's 2 weeks from now. Two weeks from now. So, yeah, but everything else, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer. And it's weird because, you know, some of these are done shooting, like they're shooting now and they're already pushing them back. Like, it's just really weird how they pull this off.
And, you know, what we'll probably see in the next couple of months too is it'll force every other movie studio to change their slate, because now, you know, I think the Black Adam movie now is directly against a Marvel movie that's gotten pushed. I think it's going directly up against Black Panther now, or some other movie. What we're going to see is they're going to change it, right? Like, they're going to start.
That'd be a rough one.
Marvel gets whatever they want, and then everybody else is going to move around to avoid those big movies.
I don't know. I would love it if they just played chicken. I would really like Black Panther and Black Adam. Like, just, man.
DC can't take those losses, though. Like, they can't afford to eat those losses, and they're going to lose.
Yeah, man. You'd have a lot of people, like, a lot of nerds be just torn. You know, that are just sitting in a movie theater for 5 hours. Like, It's most likely the scenario that will go down. Oh, and
it's
down.
Not. I was wrong. It's not the black. It's not the Black Adam. It's the next Flash movie is going up against Black Panther.
They for sure moving.
Yeah,
that.
It's just not going to win.
They for sure moving. Like The Rock could keep up with a Black Panther. Like I'll give it to The Rock and Black Adam. Everyone's really hyped for that. Yeah, but Flash, nah. Like you better move that.
Black Adam's now going pretty much head to head against Indiana Jones 5, which Black Adam's going to win.
Oh yeah. That's not a Marvel movie. No. We're not counting that.
That's why it's in the article with all the movie changes. So either way, there's a lot of ripple effects going on here. No real explanation, but I don't know. 2022, we're gonna have a bit of a lull after these 2021 movies because the first one to really hit then is gonna be Doctor Strange, which got pushed back to May.
Yeah, there's like all these production delays and like we used to get new movies out all the time, like every week there's like 2-3 movies releasing, and now it's slim pickings out there.
Yeah.
Like it's real slim pickings. I don't see it picking up anytime soon,
but at least we've got some quality television to watch, and some quality television that didn't quite make it this year is Why the Last Man, a show that you were really looking forward to being adopted into a TV show.
I've been watching it. I'm
always part of the problem. Like, because I really want to watch the show, but I'm not going to watch it week by week. I'll get it later.
And I'm wondering, like, because this is just like Devs, it's only on Hulu, you know, FX on Hulu. So I'm wondering how strong of a market they could pitch it to. And, you know, I think it's a quality show. They're going pretty close to the comic. It's interesting. You can tell it's starting to get ramped up a little bit and get interesting. And I just think it's weird that they already canceled it. You know, there must be either some really bad numbers or production costs, or I don't know. The one of the creators came out and released a statement too, kind of defending it and how the crew is, you know, such a diverse crew, and it's a story that's needs to be told, and she thinks it'll get picked up again. I hope it does. I'm a fan. I watch.
Yeah, I mean, the production value was really high. I watched the first two episodes. I mean, it is very well done. It's an interesting premise, interesting story. You know, she says and is encouraging everybody who's been a fan and been watching up to this point to make sure you watch the next three episodes, the last three episodes that are going to air, because it does get quite epic. And then you know, she's pretty much encouraging everybody to get engaged with, yeah, I think it's like hashtag why lives on, and she's trying to get people to do that. So that way it becomes like the next version of like The Expanse that gets picked up by Amazon Prime or gets picked up by somebody else and then continues to gain a big following in a dedicated streaming service instead of network TV.
Well, it's not even network TV.
I guess. What's FX? I guess I still consider that network TV.
Yeah. I just don't know if it's found its audience. You know, they didn't really market it that much. I mean, there's really no buzz around it. No one is really talking about it. So yeah, I don't know. It's sad though. Well, I like it. I'll tweet a hashtag.
Get out there, tweet a hashtag. Be a part of getting it picked up by Netflix or somebody else. But yeah, the showrunner this says that they're actively seeking a new home for it. So they're definitely not giving up on it. And then in just one more quick story on entertainment news, we've got, I guess, another show that apparently somebody hasn't given up on, and that's Mel Brooks' History of the World Part 2. So Part 1 came out in 1981, right? Like,
oh, yeah, and it's great. And it's great.
I'm really trying my best to remember what's in it. I know I've seen it, and I don't think I've ever even seen it in a single sitting, like just watching it.
Personally, I always remember the chariot scene. Yep. Where dude gets the people chasing the chariot to slow down because he just rolls a giant joint and sparks it, and then the smoke gets everybody a contact high. I haven't watched it in so long. I like the minute this article came out, it's like, oh, I gotta put that movie back in the real. I do remember, you know, bits and chunks, but it's just such a classic Brooks movie. And it was always weird because they named it History of the World Part 1. It wasn't History of the World. It was always History of the World Part 1, yeah, insinuating that they were going to do another one, you know, and it's been 40 years. I
was
going
to say, this was the plan all along, was to yeah, never die and do it 40 years later.
Dude, didn't even think he was going
to
live this long. Like... And finally, he's like, I'll do it. I'll find, I'll make one. And they're doing it in a series, which I think would be interesting because they're going to do probably, you know, a decade or an era per episode and touch on some of the other eras throughout history. I'm really excited for this. Like, I'm a big Mel Brooks fan. I also think it's going to be good.
We'll see. It's going on Hulu. Maybe they'll just cancel this too. But
yeah, I'm wondering if society can handle Mel Brooks now.
Oh, though. I think he's going to be a shell of what he once was. Like, he you know, like, and his humor.
Like, we're talking about the dude that made Blazing Saddles. Like,
there is.
Like, I'm just waiting for the Twitterverse to get a hold of Blazing Saddles because you can't cancel Blazing Saddles. I'm sorry. Like, that movie is phenomenal. Everybody loves that movie. Like I've done a small opinion poll. Everybody loves that movie. Like, you can't, like, I fear that. I really do.
Here, at some point in time next year, we'll get a little bit of some Mel Brooks history. We could see if it holds up, see how much he has calmed down or tamed down in the last 40 years.
Now that this article came out, some Xennial is going to watch that movie. We'll find out in a couple weeks whether there's a new cancel Brooks hashtag.
Let's take this show out of movies and TV here. We can talk at the end of our entertainment / kind of transition to tech while we talk about some video games. And this week had kind of a weird story emerge in the sense that kind of out of nowhere, Steam made a decision to no longer support any video game on the blockchain. So that's both blockchain video games and video games that use any level of cryptocurrency in support. Whether if they accept payment in cryptocurrency, banned. If they accept like the skins and stuff like that to have unique like NFT ownership, which is, I think, a big direction that video games are trying to go. With monetizing and making additional money off of what's taking place on their platforms, Steam just made the decision to get rid of all.
Yeah, I think they just didn't want to deal with it. They're just like, you know what, this is too complicated. We have enough on our plate. Fuck that. We're not going to deal with it. And Epic is seeing an opportunity to capitalize on this is the free market. Look, hey, y'all don't want to do it, we'll do it. Like, we'll do it. We'll be the home for it. You know, and as my brother has gone NFT crazy, he can tell you that there are some NFTs where part of minting a piece of art, you get a in-game playable, like 8-bit game, or I've seen a few of these where part of owning the NFT and having it on the blockchain, you get access to certain games and certain things. So I
yeah, I first absolutely have gone off the deep end on NFTs. this is the negative side of my obsessive behaviors. NFTs is now my latest obsession. And to go back to the story, so there was a game called Age of Rust, and Age of Rust was on Steam, and they are a game that supports activity through the blockchain that did sell unique items and things that could be actually brought into the game and verified into the game through legitimate NFT ownership. That game has been fighting back and forth with Steam, and now they've officially lost, and now that entire game of Age of Rust is no longer on Steam at all. Steam has removed them because of their support to the blockchain. So that was really kind of the first move and that's how this became really a story, because really all they did was kind of just change some language somewhere in an agreement or a contract. But it's the actual act of kicking out Age of Rust that has kind of made it a little more known that they've made this decision here. And like you said, Epic Games the next day announced that they will absolutely be supporting games on the blockchain. So curious where this is going to go right now. You know,
I like this for the simple fact that, like, you know, we buy digital games now, and this gives, I think, gamers an opportunity to truly own your game again. You know, if the game is minted as an NFT and is on the blockchain, it then becomes yours rather than, you know, we've done the stories of PlayStation locking users out for violating terms of service and they lose their entire game library. It's essentially you're buying a lease of the game from Xbox and PlayStation. Yep. You don't own any of this shit. Every time you pay $60, you download it digitally. If you lose your gamer tag or they cancel that shit on you, every dollar you spent on that game is gone. To where is everyone in that plastic case in my closet? I can still play whatever the fuck I want. You know? So the blockchain might make digital gaming a little more enticing to some gamers.
Yeah, and it changes the monetary system, right? And that's why I think Steam is going to fight back. I think Epic is looking at the fact that they'll make their money somewhere else. The financial arrangement between Steam and Epic was already pretty different. Steam gets 30% of all in-game sales. Epic only gets 12% of in-game sales. So Epic has been trying to compete with Steam for a long time. They've been, you know, structuring themselves to be a little cheaper than Steam, just based off of their royalty expense and to entice other developers, and then now allowing blockchain, because in the end, like, they're going to sell the games, and maybe through the NFTs they lose out on the purchasing of skins and the other, and like the actual marketplace that might now exist inside these games. But I feel like Steam's making a bad move here. I really think, especially when you look at like these PC games, you look at you know, the free to play games, but the add-ons are everything that matters. They're missing out on what's going to be a huge boom going forward in video games.
Yeah, like, it seems like some old people shit. Like, you know, I don't understand this NFT stuff, so I'm not going to get involved. Where, I mean, we have a whole generation now growing up in a completely digital world, and I think you have to be able to adapt in all kinds of ways when it comes to that.
You know, there's, if you dive deeper into this, you know, there's a lot of NFT people really kind of supporting the future of Web3 video games, right? Web2 being older internet stuff, and Web3 shifting to a decentralized internet. And, you know, they talk about games like Roblox, where it seems like Roblox makes a ton of money, but the developers, the ones who are actually making those games inside Roblox that the kids go play, make a very small portion of that revenue, which is kind of how Roblox wants it, right? Like, they want to centralize, they want to control everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the Web3 type games where you're selling, you know, your specific skins, you're selling your specific maps, you're selling whatever else directly as an NFT through verified ownership, now it changes who holds the cards, and it becomes a threat to the business model unless people adopt. It seems like Steam doesn't want to adopt a new strategy, and you know, that might make them blockbuster somewhere in the future. Maybe not.
I mean, right now, the way the digital world is kind of changing with blockchain technology, you have to dip your toe in it, at least.
You would think so, right? You would think they would try to find a way to still allow games to use the blockchain and find a way to profit from it. But nope, they went with the full ban hammer.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, I do like the concept of, if I own an NFT, I might get something in game for a game I play, you know, bonus. Like, and it's like microtransactions on steroids, right? like, you know, think of all the different video games that you could make, and, you know, this way people could, you know, think if people could buy and trade Fortnite skins on the low, you know, and every time they did it, rather than, you know, Epic taking a transaction on people buying new, it might encourage people to join the marketplace that normally wouldn't join the marketplace, because instead of, you know, having to own all this or do that, like, you could, every skin is an NFT. Every skin is on the blockchain. They could release limited skins, you know, create, drive up the cost, drive, you know, there's a lot of ways to make money, and that's just in, like, fucking skins, right, on a video game,
create,
you know?
They can create their own marketplace in a way, and they can create and give out these NFTs as rewards, and this, just know that they can keep them pretty rare, maybe drive up the value as they get sold. The beauty of NFTs is you can always track that ownership, and you can collect royalties the whole way, and maybe Epic tethers that, and forever, like, however many people that skin transacts through, and if that value goes up and people go nuts,
well, I just know that if you made, like, a Fortnite dance, a 1 in 5,000 people are paying out the ass for that. They ain't gonna give a fuck. There's rich ass motherfuckers that play Fortnite. Drake is gonna buy the 1 in 5 fucking, you know, whatever skin or dance, like, and rock that shit in his games. Like, I think there's huge opportunities in gaming with the blockchain. And if you're already building up walls rather than bridges, you're just fucking yourself in the long run.
But let's move out of video games here. We can talk about a little more tech stories. We've got just a couple more. And this first one, I'm curious to get your take. I'm pretty sure I know what it is. But you've surprised me a couple times over the last couple weeks. So in UK right now, they are using facial recognition tools in order to scan children's pupils. And essentially that counts towards their lunch money, right? Like, so the kids have whatever their financial accounts are through the school. They place their order, they stare into a camera, it verifies who they are, they get their lunch.
I feel like I shouldn't like this. Like, I really feel like I shouldn't like this, but I mean, my phone scans my face every day when I
go to unlock it. This is why I said I think you're going to surprise me, because there was a period of time in this show I think you would have immediately.
Well, here's where I do have a big problem with it, is that we know with how things are that they're not just taking this facial recognition shit to deduct funds from their lunch fucking balance, right? Like, they're quantifying data, they're doing all kinds of shit in the background while they are also allowing you to use your ugly mug as a way to pay for your fucking school lunch. Like, it'd be one thing if, like, it was on a closed, you know, like if that's all it did, if it was, that was it. I scan your face, take your money, you eat your food, we go about our lives. Okay, yeah, I don't have a real big problem with that. It's technology speeding up the lunch line. You know, little fucking Timmy waiting on his green beans, slowing shit down. He needs to check out real fast. I get that. But what with we know tech companies do and what governments do, this isn't where it ends. This is just what they're telling us.
What if at the grocery store all you had to do was look at the
They have cashier. That. They have that. Amazon has no cashiers. Yeah, but there's one by my house.
Because it goes through your phone, right? A trusted device. I'm talking about, what if just the Visa machine at the cash register?
You're just talking semantics at this point. like whether it's the phone in my pocket or the camera at the goddamn checkout line, we're at that point, right?
Like, we're not, though. We're not there yet. So you're saying you went there tomorrow?
Not necessarily, because right now we're kind of already there. Like, all these grocery stores, these high-tech grocery stores and shit like that, they have cameras everywhere. They're tracking the seconds your eyes are on a certain product to quantify what they should stock on their shelves, what they should, like we are, like, just guinea pigs out there, like, just driving up consumer data. And this is the cherry, right? Like, this is just the tip of the iceberg. This is what you get to see. This is what they let you know. Like, all the shit that's running on in the background, that's the shit that fucks with me, because they're making billions on this shit. I don't get nothing. Like, I don't even get, like, you know, Amazon owns Whole Foods. Whole Foods goes like this. That organic cornflakes is still going to be $18 a box, even though they're fucking making billions quantifying the amount of seconds I read the nutritional value on that fucking box. Like, this is what bothers me about the whole scenario.
Well, I'm still against facial recognition being so casual. Like, no, I don't want my kids to pay for items through facial recognition. Why? I don't even know. Like,
I just don't like it.
It's an irrational thing to, like, if somebody really wanted the biometric data of my kids. That's how I know
my younger brother is getting old.
It's easy to link it, right? Like, if they wanted to gather the biometric data of our kids, of ourselves, it's not hard. But I still don't like it. I don't want that to be a part of school. No, like I
said, it makes me feel dirty. It does. It makes me feel dirty. But I just, you know, like whether it's your thumb that unlocks it, like whether it's they got to slide a debit card. Like we're just talking bullshit here. Like this is not what is really the root of the cause of my uneasiness. You know, we're just cutting out devices and speeding things up. Like I get that. You know, it's what they're doing with the info and all the data and like I would really love for just like somebody to open a giant grocery store with everything in it and just cash only paper, like old school ringers, printed out paper receipts, and like they don't old punch card clocks, and not a guy like what is it, air gapped, when they say like when the hard drives never touch the internet. Yeah. I want an air gapped grocery store. That's what I want. Like I'm hope, man, that might not be bad. I'm like, that might be some Cuban shit. Like people might want to go. In an all-digital world where everybody's watching you do everything, you might be able to make some money with, like, we're an air-gapped movie theater. We're an air-gapped, like, just, we don't give a shit what you do. We don't want your email. We don't want your phone number. We don't give a fuck if you come back. Just give me that money right now and go about your fucking day. That's the grocery store I want. You make that, I am a loyal fucking customer.
Somewhere down the road, there might be a market for that. Today,
man, in an ever living digital world where you just feel Big Brother everywhere, yeah, I want old Betsy sitting on a fucking stool typing in everything. I want stickers on my products. like she ain't even running through a scanner on the belt. She's hand typing it in. She knows the poundage of bananas. Like, she's got that memorized. She just types that shit in. Well, low tech as fuck.
I was going to say, like, you could just go to the farmer's market to get that. And I just thought, no, last time I went, I'm
pretty sure I go to the farmer's market.
But they still use Square.
I go to the farmer's market. I want that fresh sweet corn, son. But no, all those motherfuckers are swiping shit. Contactless checkout. Like, nah, cash. Cash. One change.
Yeah, you will contact my filthy money. But all right. Let's move on. Again, you're surprised. Like
change jars. We're getting into a day and age where kids don't know what a change jar is. Like, who has change? Who uses cash? Yeah. Like, I can't remember the last time I had a pocket full of change.
I actually like offended if I go somewhere and I have to get change. Like, it really upsets me.
Are you putting nickels in my hand, lady? Like, what is this peasant money?
All right, we're the worst. Let's move. So we had one story of facial recognition supporting kids' lunch money. We got now some more other AI supported activities here, and this one's going to benefit children as well. And we've got an AI system.
You know why I care about this.
Yeah. This is coming from a educational facility or whatever else in Utah, conducting some tests and identifying that there's some AI technology that is able to identify genetic causes of various diseases in newborns incredibly quickly, way faster than what any doctor is able to identify, any lab tech is able to identify without the aid of AI.
Well, for those that don't know, a little personal information, I have a daughter that has ADNP. It's a uber rare genetic disease found in children where they're actually missing parts of their genetic code that's tied to brain function. So my daughter wasn't diagnosed until she was about a year and a half, almost two. And she was born undersized, full term, in the NICU, ran a gamut of tests trying to figure out why she was underdeveloped and everything. And yeah, it'd be nice that if they could just, you know, when they take their blood right after birth, just run it through this AI reading machine and find anything that could be wrong. Because if it was identified in my daughter earlier. We could have gotten her in treatments earlier and in childhood development earlier. When it comes to delayed, special needs kids and delays, the sooner and the more treatment you give them just, you know, helps them tenfold later on in life. So yeah, I'm excited to see that future generations, it's just going to be hopefully plug in a vial of blood to a machine. AI just fucking beep, boop, 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 prints out a receipt and says perfectly healthy, you know, might be prone to like who yeah. knows what they're going to be able to read in the future. Once they keep mapping these genomes and finding, what genes are tied to what, you're just going to get a entire printout of your kid.
You know, some of the numbers coming out of this was that it was able to identify the actual root genetic cause of various medical conditions in these newborns accurately 92% of the time, which like the current tools and you know, humans in labs is they're lucky if they hit 60% of the time. So on average, they do not even achieve 60% accuracy. So
yeah, you know, we're looking at a significant accuracy with that improvement. Too. We were always worried that we should probably get another test, but all the geneticists are like, oh no, these, like, it's not going to change anything. Like, we got it down. And I'm like, I don't know.
Do you? did you let the AI do this or did you do this? Who did this?
Like, I'll take Watson over Bob. You know, we see this all across the medical field. Like, AI technology in the medical field is going to put a lot of high paid people out of jobs. Radiology departments are going to be a thing of the past. Like,
I'm telling you, like,
radiology is 10 years away from getting phased out.
Like, if I had a health scare and somebody thought I had, you know, some cancer or something going on, if I find out that a human being is reading my scans, I'm going to be pissed. Like, no, just send it to the robot. Like,
send it to the robot.
I don't care how many years of schooling that human being went through. I don't care any of it. Send my stuff to the robot.
For sure. You know, and all the studies we've seen, we've done a few of the stories with the brain scans and the x-rays, like, they are way more accurate, way faster. Like, it is just humans taking L's left and right when it comes to AI technology in the medical field. I mean, God damn it, Elon's got a robot putting brain chips in your head. There ain't even a human that touches your fucking body. Like, are you fucking serious? So,
I don't know. The medical advances we're going to see over the next couple of years with AI, robotics, it's going to be wild. This is one that's, you know, it's close to the family here. And it's just important that, like, when you talk about newborns, like, the difference between identifying a condition in days versus months is drastic. So let's talk about less serious topics. And, you know, we'll just throw it back. The only space news story that we're going to talk about this week is, hey, William Shatner, he's back. He's returned as a not astronaut, but close enough.
Yeah, they got to make a word for that. If they're gonna deny these people, we need a word to call them. And I'm not as big of a nerd to understand what to even begin to make one up off the top of my head. I wish I had all kinds of space acronyms and shit that I could ramble off and give them a name right now, but I don't have that in me.
Well,
I did meet Neil deGrasse Tyson, so fuck y'all.
Well, part of the reason why I wanted to talk about this today, you know, last week we recorded, I think, the day before he launched. We knew he was going to go. It's because he's taken a lot of criticism.
He pissed off a lot of people by doing this. And, like, this is the second flight, right? Like, Bezos already shot people up. And, like, now that he shot Shatner up, everybody, like, gives a shit who gets to go in the pod.
You get a lot of people just criticizing the fact that, you know, he's 9 years old and what's the point of sending him up to space, and it's just wasteful to do this.
It's ageism.
You know, why are we so focused on leaving this planet when this planet has screwed up and all these billionaires and all these resources should be put towards fixing this planet instead of looking to the stars?
Yeah, that's what Prince William said, right? That's what Prince William said. Why are we looking to other planets when we need to fix this one here? It's like, you fucking killjoy. Like, go recycle something. Let the grown folks have some fun.
Yeah. And then, like,
Well, Takai went ham.
George Takai went very personal on it.
Yeah, and William Shatner came back like with the uber petty himself.
Oh, did he?
Like,
well, we get.
Oh yeah,
I didn't see what he said in reply, but like George Takai, yeah, he was absolutely saying
Google
that.
It now, you
George Takai said on Twitter that William Shatner is boldly going where other people have been before, and that he, at 90 years old, he's going to show a ton more wear and a great deal more wear and tear on the human body. So he's a good specimen to study. That an out of shape 90-year-old is an unfit specimen. It's like, damn, dude. Like, maybe he's the right specimen. Maybe we need to know the effects of these things to the elderly population. I don't know. They're gonna start launching people up to hotels in space sometime.
So I'm really glad I'm quick at this. William Shatner responded by saying, "Don't hate George. The only time he gets press is when he talks about bad about me. He claims 50 plus years ago I took away a camera angle that denied him 30 more seconds of primetime TV. I'm giving it back to him now by letting him spew his hatred for the world to see." Bill the pig. Bill the hog. I don't know why you put a pig emoji. I don't get that.
Because
George,
the guy, called him fat. And
Bill the pig. So, yeah. Okay. But yeah. He's like, "I really don't give a shit. He's just salty that I'm the captain." And he, like,
that's spectacularly personal in return as well. And he's 90 years old. Like, what does he care at this point? Go to space and talk trash to your old rivals at this point.
Well, I guess they go back and forth on Twitter a lot. Like, the article says, like, you know, Shatner is taking shots at Takai too. He once claimed there's something Takai is festering and it makes him unhappy that he takes it out on me. So, and he said he called him sad. He called George Takei sad. He said he's a sad human being. So, like, you know what this is? Grumpy Old Men 3. If someone don't make that movie, we are leaving money on the table. Money on the table. Grumpiest old men, right? That's what it has to be.
Grumpiest, yeah.
The grumpiest old men.
We got to move on this quick.
How are we not making that move? Someone call me. It's all right. I'll help you out. Yeah. I know.
We'll get William Shatner and George Takei in the room together. We'll mediate this thing out.
Bro, tell me that's not fucking great. Who's the really old grumpy guy though? Because that's the two main ones. Yeah. But then the one dude had his dad that was just shit on everybody. Who shits on everybody in this scenario?
I mean, it would have to be older than William Shatner at 90, right? Like,
I know. Like, I don't know who does or maybe not older, but just like feels older. Like, Shatner's still a spry 90. He just got back from outer space.
I mean, this wouldn't be made until 2022, which means you got to get away from the 90s here. And instead of grumpiest old men, it just becomes grumpiest old people. And you get Betty White out there just shit talking everybody.
Betty fucking White.
And boom. She's the brutal ass person.
No, she could play the wife of George Takei or something and just shit on them both the whole time. I'm here for it. Like, bro, they make so many shitty movies and have done so many remakes. Like, someone pay me money right now. Because I just handed you gold. Like, I just handed people gold. God damn it. Someone give me a job.
It would have to be in George Takei's contract that he gets 30 seconds more airtime than Shatner in the final cut.
I'm waiting for Elon to shoot Takai into actual space now.
I mean, that'd be great. I said Picard. I said it should definitely be Picard.
But yeah. Now it should definitely be. Well, just throw Picard in there whatever. Too. Like, and then get Scott Bakula, all the Trekkies that weren't with dude. Like, fuck it. Just throw them all up there. Yeah. I'm down.
All right. Well, that's a week. It's a wrap. That's a week in news. And
we got one more show before Halloween.
Yeah, one more.
Okay. I'm getting ready. It's a fun holiday for nerds. You know, it's a fun one. It's the annual American Cosplay Day. like every fucking nerd that's been making styrofoam shoulder pads in his garage for 2 years. This is your time to shine.
This is your moment.
This is your moment.
Well, as always, go over to nerdcantina.com/community. Just join us over there. Have some good conversations. Encourage somebody else to join over there. Encourage somebody else to listen if you're enjoying what's going on over here. And otherwise, I'm gonna go see Dune. I'm gonna go book some tickets right now, and make sure
I look that shit up.
And that's all I got. Until next week, nerds.
We'll see you.